Prompty. All right. So, before we even begin, I started reading something last time, and I'm just going to read a little bit more. And so this is just a little section from Vedanga Jyotisham, with notes by Dr. Suresh Chandra Mishra, Jyotish Acharya. And he was somebody who, when he was a little kid, he, you know, without even knowing what it meant, he had to memorize this whole book. And later, you know, like, they didn't even teach him. Like, later he had to, like, sit there and, like, be like, so what the heck did I just memorize, you know? Like, because it's just passed down in the family. It was what he was required. And he spent some time, and you know, whatever the text was, it resonated and opened up in him. And I'm just going to read a little bit of his notes, because his notes kind of give a general, you know, Vedanga Jyotisham is a calendrical text, and it just gives how does the brain of a calendrical person work? And in here, it doesn't give me a verse number. But the translation of this verse goes, that is, the yuga in five-year module, as propounded in the Vedanga Jyotisham, is based upon the mean motions of the luminaries, and not on their true motions. Therefore, in that method, the emitted months and the tithis are not truly achieved. And his notes on that goes, according to the Vedanga Jyotisham, two ayanas, you know what two ayanas are? Ayana, what's an ayana?
Sunrise.
Oh, two ayanas. What's an ayana?
It's half a year.
Half a year. From Uttar Ayana to Dakshin Ayana. So winter solstice to summer solstice. Summer solstice to winter solstice is an ayana. Or two vishuvas. What are two vishuvas?
I don't know.
The two equinoxes. From equinox to equinox. Are stated after a constant gap of 183 days. Actually, it was then as follows, which is the foremost step for computation of the calendar. And so he gives Uttara Ayana to the vernal equinox is 91 days and 2 hours. Equinox to Dakshin Ayana, 94 days and 2 hours. Dakshin Ayana to the other equinox, 91 days and 12 hours. Equinox to the next Uttara Ayana, 88 days and 14 hours. Which gives us a total of 365 days, 6 and 6 hours. Which is a very accurate combination. Over the years, the above-mentioned gap may yield a little change, but the grand total at all remain unchanged. Calculation for the other planets is absent from this work. Then he goes into some other stuff here. I'm not going to go into that. Next verse, in the yuga, the ayanas happen on the tithis, Pratipad, Saptami, and Triodashi, of the bright half, and on Chaturdashi and Dashami of the dark half. Thus, these five tithis, respectively recurring at the beginning of the 10 ayanas, are considered ayanadi tithi, meaning that the solstices are happening on those tithis. The ayana may also happen in Krishna Paksha. These tithis can also be known by adding 6 to the preceding tithi, which he's basically talking about, remember how we were looking at that one chart, and each beginning of the year, there was that, it was like 16 days, 13 days, 6 days, 13 days, you know, it was 21, and then it, like that recurring little cycle. So that's what it's talking about, is it's talking about the tithis that recurring cycle happens on. And his notes on it, he says, here the words, pratama, saptama, etc., are attributed to lunar days, tithi, as neuter gender is ascribed for dinam, day. So here it's just saying on that day, but the day is feminine. So he's saying they're talking about lunar days, not solar days. So the text is using the term day for both tithis and solar days, but differentiating them by male and female. There is no other way to make the text sensible. This sloka in the Rig text reads several useless and unnecessary words. Therefore, it's been given according to the Yajush text. The tithis referred here are to be considered during the months of Magha and Shravana only. There are 62 times 30, which equals 1,860 lunar tithis in a yuga. So there's 1,860 lunar tithis, and a yuga here is 5 years. Okay? They're talking about 5-year yugas. So how many tithis in a 5-year yuga? 1,860 tithis in a 5-year cycle. Thus, 1 year has 372 tithis. Put that in your note. So 1 year has 372 tithis. And I'm gonna ask for that number back in a little bit. So, two ayanas are apart by a half number of that, which is 186 tithis. So half an ayana is 186 tithis. When the total number of tithis in an ayana is divided by 30 tithis in a month, this would obviously reveal the exact tithi of the next ayana. 186 divided by 30 equals 6. Remainder 6, that is what is indicated by the word ritu, 6 in the sloka. So he's just deriving. Do you get, like, even if you don't understand what he's talking about, he's just dividing everything up in numbers and tithis and things inside of things, you know?
So what is the remainder? That's how you calculate
he's saying so that's 6, yeah. Oh. And then he's saying, and it equals 6, and there's 6 ritus. So there's this whole connection between 6 ritus and 6 being the remainder there. Therefore, these ayanada tithis are achieved by adding 6. Thus, it has been established that the yuga commences on the first tithi of Malika, starting from 1 pratipat. By adding 6, we get 7. Adding another 6, 13. Another 6, 19, which equals 4. And their second cycle, 1, 7, 13, 4, 10. So he's giving us the breakdown of tithis there. So all that is really nice, but just to get you inside the head of a Vedic calendar maker and how they're, everything is just time, tithis, we're seeing things inside of things inside of things. All right. When was the Vedanga Jyotisham written? According to...
Wasn't it like 2000 BC?
Yeah, 1900 BC is the general estimate. And it's only talks about sun and moon calculations. So some people say, see, they didn't know about the planets. Like, come on, it's a calendar. You don't use planets in to calculate the months. You don't, you know, it's like, it's a book about calculating the months. Any which way. draconic month. So what's a draconic month? What's this said? Draconic month.
Yeah, I mean, it has something to do with the movement of, I think, the moon and the Rahu.
Uh-huh.
Rahu Ketu axis, the time the moon makes a full circle between them.
Okay.
Returns to Rahu or returns to Ketu. I think it's Rahu.
Yeah, returns to Rahu. So moon from Rahu to the next Rahu. Now, what exactly does that mean? Where's Rahu? Well, let's see. Can I screen share with this? Where's Rahu? I don't know how to screen share.
It's in Leo still.
Say that again?
Rahu's in Leo currently still, isn't he?
Yeah. But I must be able to screen share, can I?
Yeah, you should. Right on the bottom, there should be a...
Oh, there it is. All right. Good. So now I know where that is. I'll dig something up. All right, Rahu to Rahu. So what, you know, like, so we got what Rahu is in a chart, but what is Rahu in reality?
It's at some point along the moon's orbit that intersects with the ecliptic and...
But what is that point?
It's the ascending.
Math.
Isn't it the...
It's where... I mean, I know it's where eclipses can occur.
All right, let's see. Whiteboard, dashboard. All right. So, let's see. I don't know. I'm liking the Zoom. The only thing about Zoom is I can't stand the name. Zoom is just such a horrible name. I mean, what, like, who came up with that, you know?
Why don't you like it?
Zoom. I mean, it sounds like, I don't know, man.
It's a bad bija.
Yeah. Sounds like vroom, vroom, vroom in a car or something, you know? Like, not like something for video conferencing. All right, so you see this line that goes across right here? That's the orbit around the sun. So at any point from the Earth, you look out and you see the sun right here. So we're spinning, but the sun is going to be moving along this line on the Earth. Okay? Now, the moon, it's going up and then it's going down. And there's a 5-degree difference right there. So K2 is when it hits that equal with the sun and then goes down. So they call it the south node because it's becoming south of the ecliptic. And then it comes around and it hits the line of the sun and then it goes north of the ecliptic. So it's north, then it becomes south, then it becomes north. So in this cycle, a draconic month is it's when we go north all the way around, we're down, and then we're going to go north again. So that's our draconic month. Make sense?
Yes.
All right. Let's see. Can we get... give up finding it that way. So we got our draconic month. And all kinds of fun pictures, huh? That's a not as good author, not as good artist. All right. So we'll do that next. Now, how do I stop share? All right. So, so if we look on page 61, look at all these different months we have. What's a synodic month?
New moon to new moon?
New moon to new moon. Anomalistic month.
That's when there's two new moons in a month.
No! Listen to the chapter again.
it takes into account the speed of the moon?
It lets us know the speed of the moon, but that means from what to what?
From the time it's furthest away to when it's closest.
And what are those two points called?
The ellipse points?
The ellipse points. Apogee and perigee.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
All right. So the synodic is new moon to new moon. The anomalistic is perigee to perigee, right? Sidereal. What's sidereal?
Star to star.
Which star?
Whichever star you're starting at.
Oh, but which star do we start at?
Opposite Chitra.
Opposite Chitra. 180 degrees opposite Chitra. So 0 degrees Aries is 0 degrees Aries. Then what's the tropical?
The equinox, the equinox.
Oh, yeah, it's just a way of dividing.
Yeah, it depends, but yeah.
It's a way of dividing that up. And then draconic?
Node.
The The sun, time it takes the sun to go from Rahu to Rahu?
No, you got it so closely. You got it last time, not the sun.
Oh, I thought we were talking about year. Yeah, with the month, it's the moon.
Yeah, exactly. This chart's month. 27 days, 27.21 days.
My only confusion here is with the anomalistic month. I mean... So, I mean, we're taking into account the, you know, the perigee, but shouldn't that line up with, like, synodic sum? I mean, that two-day difference, where's that coming from?
All right, screen share again. Oh, all right. So there's with anomaly, there's Earth's anomaly, and then there's the moon's anomaly. And I say Earth's anomaly. I should say the sun's anomaly, right? Because from a geocentric perspective, it's the sun that's, you know, but really it's us. And so look, we have the part, we're moving around like this. And this apogee and perigee is about January 4th to whatever is 180 degrees opposite that. You know, it's the 180, does it say down here? January 4th and aphelion is July 4th. Wow, that's what we're really celebrating on July 4th. Everybody thinks it's Independence Day, but you know, it's just, it's just we're farthest from the sun. Right? All right, and then here we have perigee and apogee. And let's see. So this, just like those Rahu Ketu points are moving, because it's a circle. Let's see. I have a better picture. You know, sometimes, like, a picture can do way more than a word can. Let's see.
I struggle with the spherical geometry stuff.
Oh, I love it.
It's hard for me to get a proper picture of how they're all relating. And
yeah.
I don't know.
There should be one that says LIB. I don't see it.
I think that's normal.
Did it not transfer over? All right, so I'm gonna find this picture for Frank. And a picture is 1,000 words, so. Luckily, I just saw it the other day when I was in here looking for something else.
And so, just sitting here looking at this, that doesn't make...
What's up?
No, never mind.
So, you know when you run around the track?
Yeah.
It doesn't move, you know, because it's kind of on the ground. I'm saying this as I'm looking for this picture and I'm not finding it.
I mean, I understand how the anomalistic works within itself, just like...
But think about... So the thing is, when you run around the track, it doesn't move. And you know, Maggie gave us this awesome... all right, there's the picture. Do you see that new picture?
No.
Or do I gotta do some different screen sharing thing? All right, stop share, and then share a different picture. All right. Do you see that picture now, yeah?
Yeah.
So the thing is, when you're going on a track, like, that track doesn't move, but imagine if that track itself was on an axis and it was slowly rotating so that where that corner that you could catch the person kept moving. And so that anomaly of the moon, it literally rotates every 8 years. So imagine if, like, every month they moved the bleachers. That way there was a different section that you could catch up with the people. Did that make sense or no?
No. It's hard to conceptualize completely.
Yeah. Well, yeah, mainly it's the disconnect between the synodic and the rest of these. Like, why is that synodic, those extra couple days in there? Because the other ones are fairly close, but...
Because just like Rahu's moving, you know, the moon is going from Rahu to Rahu, but Rahu has moved a few degrees before it gets there. The synodic is going from the sun to the sun, and the sun has moved 30 degrees. Rahu is not moving 30 degrees in a month. What's he moving in a month? What's Rahu moving in a month? Oh, come on.
Guess a degree or so, maybe.
So daily he's moving 3 minutes a day. So 3 times 30 is going to be a minute and a half, or a degree and a half, right? So it goes all the way around and there's only a degree and a half difference. So you got the difference, and let's just get the difference between the synodic and the draconic. So if we're going moon all the way around to the sun's moved 30 degrees, so it takes a lot longer for that moon to catch the sun. Rahu mm-hmm. has only moved a degree and a half. So it's going, you know, it's got a lot less, it's going all the way around plus a degree and a half. Where the moon is going all the way around plus 30 degrees. So now this orbit is also moving. Like the track, it's like, imagine if the track was on like a record, you know, and it's spinning. And it's literally moving. And the thing that it's spinning on is the Earth. So this oval is literally moving. So it's not always staying in the same place. Now does it make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes a little more sense.
Whew. All right.
Check.
Now, why is that all important?
I would imagine for making predictions of some sort.
So, when, and let's see, I got a different picture here. Do you guys see the picture changing?
Yeah.
Let's see if I can get to the, oh, there. All right. So there's the Earth, and let's see, to describe it in a way. So and I'm just going to describe it with tithies and without the sun, but you can also take in the sun's aphelion and perihelion in here too. So on a day like right here, the moon is moving really fast. And so as the moon's movement in a solar day. So the moon is moving really fast here. And the tithi is is short. So here we have the day is longer than the tithi. Where here, when we're over here, the moon is moving really slow, and the day then becomes shorter. And so it makes a big difference on how big a tithi is, and a tithi can literally stretch from 21 hours to 26 hours. So, you know, so it's creating that. And that stretch and movement is making the difference between whether the eclipse lasts for 15 minutes or whether the eclipse lasts for 6 hours. So these long and short tithis, they literally are going to completely change the effect of an eclipse. All right, stop sharing. All right.
So when a tithi is skipped,
what's on the day, you mean?
Yes. What is that called?
Kshaya.
Kshaya.
K-S-A. Yes. Y-A. Kshaya tithi. All right. So Maggie, what's it called when the sun goes from Rahu to Rahu?
Draconic year.
Yeah. And what about from Rahu to Ketu and then Ketu to Rahu? Oh, she's looking.
I don't know.
Right under that chart.
Is the nodal period?
Good guess. It's called a semester.
Oh, yes, a semester.
And that is the time between one eclipse and the next. So let's see. Got a draconic year. Notice draconic years, 351 tithis. Let's see, that's... So every 6 months, and... let's see. eclipse, da-da-da-da-da, full moon. All right, so let's take a minute. And how good is my screen sharing on the Zoom? Can you actually... You can see it
really... It's clear.
Huh?
It's good, it's clear.
Because on the Any Meeting, you know how small it used to be?
Mm-hmm.
It was like...
It's the whole screen now.
Yeah. And you guys are bigger too. I'm unfortunately... Mm-hmm. And I'm saying unfortunately because I can't stand the name Zoom. Like, if they just changed it to, like...
It kind of makes sense, because it's, you know, Zoom's like a photographic term, and, you know, it's picture.
Oh,
you
to could... zoom in?
Yeah, that's where I'm taking it, you know.
Good. I'm gonna refer...
It can work, it works.
I'm zooming in. Wow, maybe that's where it comes from. No. That's so much better.
Yeah. That is my first impressions. Not cars or anything.
All right. So let me see here. So I'm just going to, just so we can all look together, because I wanted to really make it clear. I'm going to... Eclipse. This is 2017. And
I'm already preparing mentally for this.
For which part?
The eclipse that's coming. I'm gonna have all all my ducks in a row, so to speak.
Oh, there's no. Let's see. Because, you know, as an astrologer, people are going to want to know, like, so what's this eclipse mean? All right. So, well, this is the important thing here. 2017. So, August 7th and 8th, depending where on the planet you are, we have a lunar eclipse. How many days until the solar eclipse?
15.
And what is that based on?
The time it takes for the moon to go through half of its phases.
Not half of its phases. Come on, this was your thing. This was your... What's the name of the month?
What do you mean, this month in particular? Oh, the time it takes the nodal, no.
So it's based on the draconic month. So the correspondence between the synodic and the draconic month is making this happen right here. So there's going to be 15 tithies between these. And based upon the draconic month, it's going to show whether it's full or, you know, complete or partial. And so we see they're 15 days apart. And then, so that's August. The next one comes January. Let's do some math. This is August 21st. The next one is coming January 31st. How many days apart is that?
Like 6 months?
It should be.
How many days?
180-ish.
I gave you the... I read it in here today.
Oh.
He says two ayanas are apart by half the number of 372 tithis. That's 186 tithis. So there's 186. Remember I told you to write that number down?
I did. I was trying to divide it by two in my head real quick. You beat me to it.
So it's 186 tithis. So they're separated by that. Okay, you get that and you get, this wasn't random. All right. Then from that lunar eclipse to the solar, how many days?
15
tithies. And why am I saying tithies instead of just days?
Well, the tithies might not be exactly one day.
It might be 16 days, it might be 14 days, right? Depending on where in that ellipse it is. All right. I've been eating a peanut butter cookie here while we're doing this. And so we're just looking at these dates. That way, you know, because I could sit here and say it, but when you see it, it's like, oh, okay, this is obvious, right? I can't tell you how many people who are astrologers still say stupid things like, oh my gosh, there's two eclipses this month. And I'm like, are you for real? You're an astrologer? hello? There's two eclipses together every 6 months, every year? For the last few million years that the moon has been around the earth. So, like, this is not something new. Yeah. So you guys aren't going to make that mistake, right?
No.
All right. So we can see right here, just in these numbers, just in the days. So January 31st, the next one, then it's separated by 15 tithies. Then we have the next eclipse happening in July. How far away is that?
186 tithies.
All right. So every 186 tithies, we got this whole cycle going down. Great. Great. We got that out of the way. You guys are not going to sound stupid. And I'm for real. I mean, come on, right?
Yeah, I see a lot of the articles.
The articles, they're like, there's two eclipses, the world is going to end. It's like, the world's going to end because there's two eclipses in a row. Excuse me, like,
Or it's a powerful eclipse on the full moon. That's a big one.
All right, let's talk about that. Full moon, new moon. Which eclipse happens on which?
Lunar eclipse on full, solar on new.
That's right. Why?
Because how the Earth, Sun, Moon align. the Moon on a full Moon, the Moon's totally opposite the Sun. And so the shadow covers the Moon, and then when it's new Moon, the Moon is moving in front of the Sun. There, blocking it. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
I feel like I need some sort of diorama of the solar system, like in my house, to understand.
Maggie,
that's a good idea.
You're supposed
to understand this, but putting it all together is very complex.
All right. Let's see. We're screen sharing again. Oh, I should have made this so I video recorded it, because there's so many pictures in this today. There's not normally this many pictures. You see this beautiful picture? Is this one cool picture or what? This is one of my favorites. And I can't tell you how long it took me to find somebody to draw it. I'm like, I want it like this. It needs to have this 3D feel. Like, and you know, my sketch was nowhere near 3D. And so, like, they kept drawing it like I drew it. And I'm like, no. You see, this is how I draw it. I need it better than me. Like, this guy got the three-dimensionality. So you see where the moon is new, and you see where the moon is full, right? So where the moon is new, the moon is in front of the Earth, between the Earth and the Sun. And because when the moon is new, it's in between the Earth and the Sun, that's when a solar eclipse is possible. And because the full moon is behind the Earth and the Sun, that's when the Earth can block the Sun, can cast its shadow on the moon. Right? Because the moon is behind it, and the Sun is on the other side, so the shadow can be cast. And so the thing is, when this new moon or full moon is happening near Rahu or Ketu, and the key word is within 15 degrees of Rahu or Ketu, then that means we have an eclipse possible. So when you look at a chart and somebody's born near a full moon or a new moon, and their moon or their sun, because they're going to be opposite or conjunct, is near the nodes, you want to check and see if there was an eclipse at their birth. I can't tell you how many times I've had people, like, they're like, I've had 50 readings and nobody told me I was born on an eclipse. I'm like, you were born on a new moon and your moon is conjunct Rahu. Like, it's obvious. It's an eclipse. Okay?
Within 15 degrees, it's considered an eclipse?
That's when the eclipse becomes possible. Because Rahu is the shadow. So, and the closer Rahu is, the bigger the eclipse.
This gets into interpretation, but does it make any difference if the eclipse was visible where you were born or not, as far as interpreting it, or?
As far as the dosha for the person? So when you say interpreting it, so interpreting...
Yeah, like the effects of, yeah, the eclipse.
So in a natal chart, it doesn't matter whether they could see it or not.
Okay. What is the name for that?
Grahana dosha.
So is it just the grahana dosha will be there if there's an exact eclipse, or is there some sort of range?
If they're born on the new moon or the full moon in the conjunction of Rahu on a time period where there was going to be an eclipse, then it's a grahana dosha.
Okay.
And who's the most famous person in the world right now with the grahana dosha?
Donald Trump.
Great leader.
And so let's take a quick look at his chart. And on a certain level, I want to say, no! Don't bring his energy present. But let's see. Funny thing is Mr. Trump, I did his chart like 20 years ago or something, you know?
Didn't see this coming, did you?
Actually, it was on The Simpsons, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
All right.
But he tried to run before, too, like some years ago.
He talked about running. He never actually ran. All right, so how clear is it? The screen share.
It's good. The bottom's, yeah, no, but just tiny cut, but yeah, I can see most of it.
Well, what's cut? Because I see my screen, so I'm just trying to...
Just the line goes right up to the bottom of the Navamsha there, but okay. But anything below?
Let's see.
Well, yeah, I can see everything.
That's cuts off more.
What about that, Frank?
Yeah, the sides cut off a little now. I think the first one was the best. Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so that's back to what it was. So let's look. So he was born, look at the tithi, he was born Purnamasya, 14.61%. Now, we go up, we see he's born on Purnima, look at his sun and his moon. They're conjunct Rahu and Ketu. So it's Purnima, which is it going to be lunar or solar eclipse?
Lunar
eclipse. So we look at the moon is 28 degrees. And Ketu, which is what is conjunct, is 27. So are they within 15 degrees?
Oh, yes.
Now, if Purnima, there's 14 point, so let's just round it to 15%. There's 15% left. Now, is he closer to the eclipse at 15%, or would he be closer to the eclipse at 80%? Which makes him closer to the eclipse?
80%.
15%.
You got a guess. See. Come on.
Okay. I would say, I think 80.
Oh, Frank got it right.
Darn.
So the 180 degree opposition is at the 100% 100% Purnima.
Okay.
So the closer it is to that 99.9, the closer it is to the eclipse.
That's what we said.
But this says 14% left, so it's going backwards. So the closer it is to 0% left,
okay,
the closer it is to the eclipse. And what about for Amavasya? Is it how much percent Amavasya for an eclipse?
I'm still trying to kind of wrap my brain around.
All right. So when
I mean, I get it. It's just,
no, if you got it, then you'd just be there. Let's get it.
So,
because if you get it, then it all just makes sense. And that's my goal right now, is to make it so that you're like, of course. So okay, that's my goal.
Amavasya is dark. Dark, dark.
It should be the same for Amavasya.
So, all right. So look, that Amavasya, that exactly is 0 degrees. So at, when it's, and this is not really the best, but so as it's coming into this, it's getting closer. So that 0 degrees becomes the end of Amavasya. And as it passes there, then that's Pratipad. So the closer to 0% left, the closer it is to the exact conjunction with the sun.
Okay.
And is same with the opposition. So at 180 degrees opposite the sun, Purnima is done and Pratipad starts. So the 12 degrees before 180 degrees, that Purnima, all the way to the very end, that the very end of Purnima is the complete maximum full moon. And then after that maximum, then it becomes Pratipad. As soon as the moon reaches its conjunction with the sun and it crosses that, at that point it starts waxing. And so the Amavasya is complete. Amavasya is waning, exact conjunction, and then when it passes that exact 0, 0, you know, the sun's, they're the same exact degree, and when it passes that exact same degree, it's Pratipad.
Yes.
So the closer it is to the conjunction, or the closer it is to the exact opposition, this is when the eclipse happens. The eclipse can only happen, who's got the, does everybody have a copy of the calendar? My calendar?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
All right. Let's see. I'll just pull up. I can pull it. Let me think for a minute where I have the image. 2017 planner.
So, as Amavasya is reaching its end, that's where the peak, that's where the eclipse happens.
Say that again.
So as Amavasya is reaching its finality, that's the point when the eclipse is at, that's where it happens.
When Amavasya is reaching that conjunction point. All right.
So
for some reason maybe it's just today that there's a lot to share, but it feels like it's easier to share with this.
My list. I gotta go get your calendar printed. It's at the top of my to-do list. Did last year's.
I'm missing. It's April 10th. Did we pass it? There should be an eclipse page. March. All right. No, it's not here. Why not?
Why am I not? There is an eclipse page, I remember, somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm... You know what? I just opened the 2016 one. Ha, ha, ha. And the 2016 is not the 2017. So the 2016, it's all the way at the end. It's so funny. I put that in there, and some people were like, wow, this eclipse page is really cool. And I'm like, there always was an eclipse page. And I'm like, it was just in the back. Okay, so this doesn't actually show it exactly. Let's see. 23 March 2016. And Justin just ran out. I want to make sure he sees this because I'm trying to clarify him. But you see, when we understand the celestial mechanics, then it's like, oh yeah, of course, right?
Are we going to get into interpretive stances on the eclipse at all? Or?
We can if you want.
Freedom, you know, I have an eclipse in my chart, but you told me, I believe, that I was free from whatever the Grahana thing, the Grahana aspect of that at some point.
What's your tithi?
It's the first. It's a full moon, but it's just starting to wane at 87% of the first tippy.
Hold on, it can't be a full moon and waning. Full moon has to be waxing. It's as soon as it starts waning, it's pratipad.
Oh, so then it doesn't count anymore?
Are you waning or not?
Yeah, I'm in the dark half. I'm just starting to wane. Like, it was just full, and then it's in the first tithi of the waning.
And how far into to wane? You're born in pratipad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not born in Purnima.
So I don't get the effects of the eclipse?
But that's for... And so which percent of pratipad are you born in?
87%.
So left. 87% left?
I guess it's left, yeah.
And there's an eclipse that happened on that full moon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, then you're kind of still... You still have some of those effects.
Wait, okay, if Rahu is with the sun, Ketu is the moon, does that mean an eclipse happened or that you have to somehow check something else?
You have to check something else because were they 15, oh. Were they within 15 degrees?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
What do you mean within 15 degrees?
So let's open up your chart.
Okay.
Man, we're not even going to get to the Samvatsara. We're going to be like all on eclipses.
2 years. My prediction.
No, don't curse me like that. Like 1 year.
Sorry,
I'm
supposed
to do this. All right, Maggie. I had another client named Maggie with a different last name, so it always. Let's see. There's you, Maggie, and so we have Pratipad. What are you talking? It says 12% left.
Oh, then my computer, I'm looking at the Sri Joshi star. It says 87%. So I guess that's 87%.
Yeah,
it's
Sri Jyoti star says 87. Sri Jyoti star does how much complete, and
okay.
Jagannath Hora does how much left.
Okay.
And the cool thing is that Jagannath Hora writes 12.8% left. Where Sri Jyoti star just gives you a percent and doesn't say what it means.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend years figuring that out unless you like or do the calculations yourself. And because you've passed 50% of the tithi, then you don't have the dosha.
Okay.
You were going to make me feel like I said something wrong. You're like, you said I didn't have it. And I'm like, if you are got 87% left, you got the dosha. So the first half of the pratipad after an eclipse has the dosha. But let's look at your chart. So it was a lunar eclipse. So we look at the moon, and the moon is 12 degrees, and Ketu is 18. So we see they're within 15 degrees.
Oh, so there was an eclipse.
So there was an eclipse, right? Why don't you go? You've never checked?
No.
So all you have to do when you have a doubt is you just Google eclipse, and then you find the person, and then you say March 1987. You do their month and their year with the eclipse, and... there's so many awesome web pages that give you all that detail. And so 1987, there was an eclipse March 29th and April 13th. So you just missed it.
Okay.
So
it was approaching.
So it was approaching. And we're looking at the degrees, but we're looking at the degrees when there's 12% left. So that means it's moved 10 degrees, right? Because that percent is based upon 12 degrees. So if it says 12% left, then that's, you know, let's see, 1/12. What's 1/12?
1 degree.
So every 8.3 degrees is every 8.3% is a degree. So here it means that you have, because we're at 12, we have like 1.5 degrees left. Right?
Of that tithy?
Of that tithy. Okay. So when the moon moves another 1.5 degrees, it'll be Dwadash, Dwitya. It'll be the second tithy. Did everybody follow that math?
Yeah, I think so.
A tithy is how many degrees?
I can't remember what you just said.
A tithy is 12 degrees of motion.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. So if we have a percent, then we just divide 100. We just divide that 100% by 12 degrees, and that gives us 8.3. So every 8.3% is a degree. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you have 12.8% left and 8.3 is 1 degree, then it's about a degree and a half, right?
That the moon needs to move.
That the moon needs to move, which means that the full moon was how many degrees before? So if it's 12 degrees and there's a degree and a half left, that means it's moved how much since full moon?
About 12 degrees, right?
No, there's a degree and a half left.
So 10 degrees.
So about 10 and a half degrees. Yes. So the full moon, we take it 10 and a half degrees back. So right now the moon, we see it at 12. So it would have been at the full moon, it would have been at 2, right? If her moon is 12. And so her moon at 2 and K2 at 18, is that more than 15 degrees?
Yeah.
Exactly. So you see how we just calculated the eclipse?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So is everybody with me on that?
Yeah, except I thought that there was an eclipse. Well, you just looked it up and there was an eclipse.
No, there wasn't. March 29th, there was a solar, and April 13th, there was a lunar.
Oh, April 13th. Okay, I thought it said March 13th. Okay,
yeah,
sounds
great. Yeah, so no. It, you can't be on Krishna Pratipad and it be more than 2 days away.
Oh, okay.
Because it only happens at the very end of Purnima and the very end of Amavasya.
Okay. And right. You're saying that it has, the dosha exists for the pratipad up to 50%?
Yes.
Okay.
The terminology says after the first half of pratipad, it becomes pure. That's what the text says. So the second half of pratipad is pure. But the first half is not pure.
That's confusing for interpretation, though, because what's the difference in interpreting Sun-Rahu conjunction with
an eclipse?
Is it some of the same energy still there?
With an eclipse, I mean, the person is messed up. So if you were born on an eclipse, the reason you would be walking dogs is because you're too dysfunctional to get a real job. Okay? Now, if you're not born on an eclipse, the reason that you're not getting a different job is because of some other dasha or transit or something of that nature.
Okay.
So it's making a very big difference.
Okay.
People born on a grahana dosha are difficult people. Look at Donald Trump. Do you think he's an easy person to deal with?
No.
I mean, have you seen some of the images of his wife?
Yeah.
Can it make someone really spiritual too, though?
Rarely. But it can. And I have one or two llamas that I work with that have that were born on an eclipse.
What about Rahu and Ketu giving Raja Yoga in specific certain cases?
What do you mean?
Like, didn't I hear you reference
but during an eclipse?
Trump's chart talking about how somehow this was causing...
Well, the thing is, Trump's chart... can you guys still see the chart?
No, it's not up.
Let's see.
You said it allows him to eclipse his enemies.
It exalted Rahu in the 10th?
Oh, yeah.
That's the Raj. Exalted or debilitated node in the... Debilitated or exalted Rahu in the 10th gives Raj Yoke.
Okay.
That's it. Nothing else. The fact that he's born just before an eclipse makes him a difficult person. And let's see.
I was also curious your comment about how you said the eclipse coming up in August gave him the presidency.
Yeah.
So how, I'm just curious how that works with things in the future affecting something that happened.
All right. Let me finish finding this thing here.
Okay.
I'm in the back, birth on a solar eclipse. I'm in the back. That was the back end of my blog. You guys can... you can't see, can you? Let's see. All right. So this is the people born on the day of an eclipse were... And this is a guy who did huge amounts of research on eclipses. People born on the day of an eclipse were unusually fearless both of physical danger and of the opinion of others about their actions and attitudes. In addition, they were unusually direct and brusque to the point of formidableness. And while they were not quarrelsome, woe betide the person who tried to put something over on them, as they were ruthless in their dealings with those who tried to cross them. Jane also says, eclipses of the sun then can be expected to inflate one's individuality, purpose, and drive. They appear to possess a curious and striking quality of indomitability, a devil-may-care fearlessness and independence. And I agree with his statement down here. Yeah. This is, you want to hear the funniest thing? This is probably the third most looked at page on my blog. All the stuff I spend hours and hours and hours, and then here I just took, I was like, wow, this is this most incredible thing in an arcane book, I should put it so that it's available online. And you know, all right, but the most important thing is, did everybody get how we calculated Maggie's eclipse not happening and the fact that it was more than 15 degrees apart from the node when that full moon happened? There was no eclipse. You saw that, right? So we can completely calculate whether there was an eclipse or not based on looking at the chart. Then we can confirm on Google exactly when and where and all that. We can even do, based upon, I think in Trump's chart, he was born like 4 hours or something before an eclipse. Let's see, go back to his chart real fast. Mr. Trump. So he had 14.61 left. And if we look, let's see, at that eclipse, he was born, so June 1946, eclipse. It was a total lunar eclipse. And that eclipse happened at, the maximum was at, in Yuba City, it was 10, you know, here in California, it was 10:30. And he was born in New York, which would mean, 10:30, that's that they're 3 hours ahead. So that is 1:30 at night. And he was born at not at 10 o'clock. So he was born 10 o'clock?
7.
He was born 3.5 hours before the eclipse.
Okay.
And what was my guess? Just looking at the percent, I said 4 hours.
That's what you said.
Yeah, so 3.5. So you see how I could just tell by looking at that percentage of the tithy how soon he was born before the eclipse.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. And so, yes, we did a little bit of prediction there, but you know, my main goal right here is to get you to be able to, what I just did, to be able to, like, see in a chart, to be like, oh my gosh, there was an eclipse here. Let me double check how far, how close to the eclipse. I mean, a guy born 3.5 hours before an eclipse, that's a big deal. Now, what if the person was born 21 hours before the eclipse? It's a lot different, you know? So the closer they are, the closer a person is to the eclipse, the more intense that energy is.
Is there something about after the eclipse that is a different energy than, like, just you're still in the eclipse, but you're right after it?
Let's see. So, screen share. So I go back to this same page. Chris Jane, who researched eclipse, and I love this guy's book. Like, actually, you can't find his book. His research was published and collated by a guy named Bill Meridian. And so if you want to see his this all that research, and the thing about an eclipse research is eclipses happen at the same time no matter what, you know what I mean? They're not sidereal or tropical with an eclipse. So, but the book is called The Predictive Power of Eclipse Paths by Bill Meridian. And Bill put together all this guy's research, did a little bit more, and published it. So here, the research, and I read all of it, so it's well done. And after I read it, I've just paid attention, and it works beautifully. Who researched eclipses for many decades, observed that events, and notice, be aware, events began before an eclipse tend to fail. And those began after an eclipse tend to succeed. Let's see, the example I give here is the release of Facebook stock. So Facebook released some stock just before an eclipse, and I bet you some stupid astrologer recommended it. Some stupid astrologer said, oh, it's going to be the full moon. Why don't you release the stock on the full moon, right? Right? Somebody who doesn't know their stuff is like, oh, it's a full moon, release it. And that full moon just happened to be an eclipse. And so they released it just before this eclipse. And then after the eclipse, So they released their stock. The stock went up crazy, sold. And then as soon as after the eclipse, the stock just dropped. And people lost thousands and thousands of dollars. And were not happy with Facebook at all. Now, Jane goes on to say that human birth before an eclipse led the individual to being successful. And birth after an eclipse led to hardship. So notice it's different. So for events, before the eclipse is bad, after is good. And now with that, there's been a few situations where people are doing stuff and they need to succeed. And you know, it's like full moon is coming up and they're like, oh, I want to release it on the full moon. I say, no, release it the day after the full moon. They're like, but why? It's the full moon. I said, nah, don't worry. As soon as that eclipse is done, bam, you release it. And so when an eclipse, okay, and let's if we look on the terminology, where's the terminology? Page 62. When an eclipse happens, when that shadow's going over, it's called eclipse is called Vimardarda, the measure of obscuration. Time of the eclipse is called Nimilana. Nimalana means it's the closing of the eyes. The luminary's emergence from the eclipse is called Unmilana, or the opening of the eyes. So it's like the eyes are being shut. And when the eclipse body fully leaves the eclipse, is called a grahana. That's why it's called grahana dosha. Because an eclipse is a grahana, it's that the globe has been grabbed. When it fully leaves, it's called the moksha. So that time after the eclipse is called the moksha. So it means that anything can be like, it's like this time where like, the luminary is free. It's just overcome the darkness. So it's good. For a human, it means they've just been beaten up and spit out. Now Trump was born when?
Just before, so
everybody was saying during the predictions, when everybody was predicting, they're like, he can't win, he was born during an eclipse. I said, no, he was born just before an eclipse.
Which is beneficial.
And now, what did he do when he was going for his nomination? When he was, and everybody was standing next to him? Do you guys remember the polls of everybody else and his polls? He had something like 60%, and everybody else had like 2%, 4%, 5%, and he had 60. And when they'd talk, it would be Donald Trump would talk, then somebody else would talk. Then Donald Trump would talk, then a different candidate. Then Donald Trump, then some other candidate. And then like some guy, he didn't even get to say anything, but Donald Trump got to talk in between everybody. He eclipsed everybody. And so that's that being born just before an eclipse.
Now, the Nimalana is that like the exact zero, exact Amavasya or exact Purnima?
So think about yes.
Okay. And so like if there's a little percentage left before or after, that's when it's moving in and out?
Little percentage, yes. The maximum eclipse. You know how like there's sometimes an hour or two before the eclipse and an hour or two after the maximum? That maximum point is either the exact opposition or the exact conjunction. And so the time before and after is just about, it's based upon anomaly and anomaly, draconic month, all that. Because the draconic month is going to say like how far over that shadow is or not, right? And the anomalistic month is going to say how long it takes for that shadow to move. Because the speed is the anomalistic month, right? And where the shadow is the draconic month. And when the eclipse can happen is the synodic month. So you got why we had all those things in the beginning. You know, so we needed to understand all those months to be able to understand all the elements of an eclipse. Right?
Yeah. Regardless of where the degree Rahu and Ketu are, I'm just solidifying in my brain that it's the exact opposition of the sun and the moon. They really, regardless of how close they are to Rahu or Ketu, that's the moment when it must happen.
So the 0 degree difference and the 180 degree difference, that's the maximum of the eclipse. Now, how close it is to Rahu or Ketu is how much of that shadow is over it.
Got it.
And how long that shadow is based upon the speed of the moon, which is from the anomalistic month. So you got our three factors.
Uh-huh.
And those are the three factors you need to get the details of an eclipse. And I'm not asking you to get to that detail, but what I'm asking you is to be able to look at a chart and be like, oh my gosh, there was an this looks like an eclipse. Be able to do the calculations. Yes, it was. You can go, we got Google these days, so you can confirm exactly the time and get exactly how close they were. And then you got your percentages, so you know whether they have the grahana dosha or not. right? Now, as I said, if somebody's having a hard time getting a job, they're having a hard time in marriage, hard time getting married, whatever these, like, you know, really intense sufferings of important things in their life, the most recent grahana dosha I had was last week. And the man's wife, what a weirdo too. I mean, the guy gives me his chart and he doesn't give me his wife's chart. He says, oh, her chart doesn't matter. And he doesn't tell me what he wants in the reading. He gets there to the reading and he says, my wife's not having a baby and I'm wondering, you know, what can we do? I'm like, I need your wife's chart. What are you talking about? The wife's chart's not important, version. Oh my goodness. Oh my God. What is this guy thinking, you know? And so I look at the wife's chart and she was born on Amavasya. And he goes, we already did an Amavasya Dosha Puja. I said, but, you know, I looked and based upon everything we just learned, I was like, actually, it looks like she was born in an eclipse. Did the double check. She was confirmed. She was born, oh, I can't remember. I think she was within like 5-6 hours of an eclipse. And she couldn't get pregnant. And so I was like, you know, we got to do the Grahana Dosha Puja. We got to do the Amavasya Dosha Puja. And then we do the Santana Gopala puja, you know, to do the puja to have children. Without taking care of the grahana dosha, all the other pujas weren't working. Because everything was getting eaten by that eclipse. All right. But so and that's the important thing that I'm really wanting you to get is that to make sure that you don't make a stupid statement like, oh my gosh, there's two eclipses this month. That's amazing, isn't it? And I know I make fun of that a lot, but I honestly can't tell you how often people say that. And two, that you can quickly spot an eclipse in a chart. Quickly. And even if you're out of doubt, you can't, you know, you're in some place where you don't have internet and you got your laptop, but you can still see, you can be like, yeah, the eclipse, it's going to happen. And you can sit down and you can calculate when the Purnima exact is going to be. And you can say the maximum part of the eclipse is going to be at this time. And you might not be able to calculate the anomalistic month to know how long it's going to be, how many hours before or after, but you'll at least be able to have a general idea. All right. Important, right? I'm going to jump over to page 63 real fast and just from 878 to 1715 AD, the city of London. Oh, notice this. We didn't do that calculation. It says the city of London, the capital of the British Empire, did not see an eclipse. It didn't say that the whole British Empire didn't. We were, you guys, Justin and I were doing a bunch of research the other night after class, and we started in 1776, and we were looking at all the eclipse charts, and we got to 1918, and we were looking at all the eclipse charts that had, like, cut the U.S., that had cut through the U.S., not Washington, D.C., but at that time it was Philadelphia for a while, right? In 1776 it moved to D.C., right? Yeah. No. Yeah, it moved to D.C. in 1776. Before 1776 it was Philadelphia. So didn't cross London. And according to Indian astrology, that is why their power just continued to rise, and nobody could knock them down. And an eclipse creates political instability when it goes through a country. And based upon this statement, not just the country, but particularly the capital of the country. All right. So, yeah.
Can you qualify that statement about the upcoming eclipse and Trump and... I don't know if that's more than you want to get into now, but...
Well, I mean, it cuts the country in half. And what Justin and I found And it was a little saddening, almost, what we found. The last time that there was an eclipse that did that same cut, that same Seattle to Atlanta route, was, what, 1 year or 2 years after the Civil War?
Oh, yeah, it was a little bit afterwards.
No, it was only a few months. It was 3 or 4 months after the Civil War was completed. And then that eclipse happened. So it was an after the Civil War. But I mean, it crossed it pretty close to, it was pretty south of the Mason-Dixon line. Yeah.
And if an event occurs after an eclipse, it's
beneficial.
And that was a beneficial outcome.
Yeah, but the war happened before the eclipse.
Yes.
And that's the important, and so it was...
That's what we're kind of looking for.
Yeah. We were kind of hoping that eclipse would be just before the Civil War, and then we could be like, yeah, Civil War's coming, you know? Then no, we couldn't say that, because it was... it was... Maggie, come on, like, if you predict a Civil War, and then all of a sudden it happens, like, you're good astrology, you know? Like, you see, the thing is, it's not that you want it or not want it. I mean, it's not that I wanted Trump to win. I predicted he would win because of multiple things, of his Aruta Lugna, of the eclipse in his chart, of the what we were seeing with the eclipse. I mean, we saw how he eclipsed people, and he eclipsed Hillary. In the day of that vote, he won so... I mean, he just trashed her in the Electoral College. She was completely smashed. She wasn't even close. It wasn't even a close. He said he was going to do away with the Electoral College, and he hasn't done that yet. Remember, that was one of his promises. I hope he keeps that promise. That promise will get, maybe he plans to keep it in his second term because he knows he can't win without it. The electoral. Real fast, end of page 62 talks about the full moon is the energy of Lakshmi, new moon is the energy of Amavasya is the energy of Kali. The full moon is Vishnu energy, and new moon is Shiva energy. Yeah. So important there. New moons and Amavasyas, that syzygy, is for spiritual practice, and full moons is for material practice. Mm-hmm. You want to get a new job, Maggie? You do a puja on the full moon. You want to get closer to your spirit? You do a puja on the new moon. Important differentiation there. What do we do? What do we do during an eclipse?
Meditate.
On what?
Well, it seems like the full moon, you said, has to do with surrender. So, I don't know. Maybe you don't try to do anything. But the new moon, I think... I think the new moon, you meditate, I don't know, on emptiness or something like that.
For us as astrologers, the best thing for us to do is japa. Do your mantras on that time, because your mantras become, depending on the eclipse and depending on the folk, some people say they're 10 times more powerful. Some Buddhists say they're 100 times or 1,000 times more powerful. The number is arbitrary. That's an arbitrary, 10 times or 100 times or 1,000 times. The thing is, it's way more powerful, but how more powerful depends on both where the eclipse is in your chart, how the eclipse is, and your ability to be focused. Now, because I've done enough eclipse sadhanas, when that eclipse is getting closer, when you're getting to that exact point of the maximum eclipse, your mind, if you're somewhere where the eclipse, like you're near the eclipse line and you're doing sadhana, your brain stops working. You can't even repeat the mantra. It's like you're on some kind of weird drugs that are, you start to get drugged. You're like, you know, it's extremely difficult. So to be able to hold that focus on the mantra during that time, that is making it more powerful. If you can't hold that focus, it's there's no more powerful happening.
Eclipse where I was, you know, looking right at it, and it was weird because I wasn't studying astrology then, but, you know, everyone was gathering for the eclipse, and I was like, something doesn't feel right. I was like, I feel burnt out. Like, I don't like the way this is making me feel.
It was
strange.
Yeah. Nope. Not wise to go eclipse watching. But great to do sadhana. It makes it so much more powerful. So we got eclipse paths, we got people born before and after, we got events before and after, we got the destruction. Getting more specific, and I mean, we're almost at 8 o'clock, and I want to just finish this section a little. I don't know what else there is. There's a little bit more here, but we're not going to get into, let's see. So when the amount of time that an eclipse is going to last, its effects is based upon how long it is. So the longer the eclipse, the longer the its effect is going to be. Now there's, and I'm not going to give too much interpretation because of that otherwise, because there's so many different theories. But one interesting theory to look at is. Well, or one important thing to look at first would be where the eclipse is happening in someone's chart. You know, is the eclipse happening in your ninth house? If it's happening in the ninth house, there could be father issues. There could be, you know, all kinds of father issues or dharma issues, issues with religion, issues with the temple, like this, you know, issues with your thighs, the whole gamut, you know, look at the sign. You take in the house, the sign, all that into account, person's age and dasha. So that's most important. One thing that people do is the place that eclipse happened, like the eclipse that we have happening is in this August one is going to be 6 degrees. Is it 6 or is it 4? 6 degrees or 4 degrees of Leo. Let's see. It is going to be, I know that it's, one of those is Trump's, and one of those, so Trump's Lugna is 6 degrees. So that means the eclipse is happening at 4 degrees, Leo. And so the eclipse is happening at 4 degrees, Leo, and Trump's Lugna is 6 degrees, Leo. So now that's hitting him right on the head. He's getting, it's like, that's like a baseball bat hitting him. You know, that's like Rahu's just like about to pound him on the head. At the same time, that eclipse is going from, it starts around Seattle and it ends in Atlanta. So it's just cutting, it goes right through Denver. It's just chopping the U.S. It's like, we're definitely going to, the U.S. is getting shaken up. And we could probably look at what did the country look like right after the Civil War? That's the last time there was a similar eclipse line. But, it, you know, we'd have to go and see what sign was that in, because if it could have not been in Leo, it could have been in something else. It definitely indicates that there's going to be some political instability. And who is getting hit on the head by that eclipse? Trump is getting hit by that. So it's showing that some actions that he's pathetically taking... And he's really good at taking some pathetic actions, right? Some pathetic actions that he's taken. And really, just pay attention just before that eclipse. He's going to do something. And the things that he does just before that eclipse are just going to cause, like, havoc for the next 6 months to 3 years.
What did you mean when you said that eclipse got him elected?
So I mean, you can see that's a very powerful eclipse for the U.S. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just tis madness.
His madness, it directly correlates with that eclipse. It's like that eclipse is his energy. The eclipse, that eclipse is indicating
somebody who's going to mess up this country.
Somebody who's doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
So it's hitting his lugna. So that means he's being on some, in some regard, that eclipse is indicating that he's our I'm repeating, that's kind of, because the energy of that eclipse is so similar to him, and we're about to experience that eclipse, that means that we're about to experience Donald Trump. Like, he is that energy of the eclipse. He is the eclipse that we're about to experience. He's 6 degrees Leo, eclipse person. He's Mr. 6 degrees Leo and rolling with an eclipse. And we have a 4 degrees Leo eclipse about to kick us. You got what I'm saying?
That's
his eclipse. Now, could Hillary have given us the results of that eclipse?
Probably not as strongly, since we don't know her chart exactly, but
we don't know exactly. But she couldn't have given us that same eclipse, because that's not her energy. So that's what I mean by this is the eclipse that got Donald Trump elected. Because of what the karma of the U.S., you know, we're at the end of a Rahu Dasha, and we're about to get an eclipse crashing right through the middle of the country. So who can give us those results better than him?
What time do you use for the U.S. chart?
I use pretty much the standard time.
I think it's like 4.
Moved by a few minutes.
4:30 in the afternoon, I think people.
Let's see. Open. I go into. It's in famous and countries. China, Denmark, France, India, Israel, U.S. independence. So the standard U.S. independence is 7 o'clock, and I've been using 6:57, but I'm going to re-rectify that again.
P.M. or A.M.?
P.M. So I'm using 6:57, but I recently was like, oh, no, I got to take that a little bit more back, you know, so.
Wait, which date?
I think July 4th, right? Wasn't it?
17,
July 4th, 1776, yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, man, we didn't get into the Brihaspati Samvatsaras. How did we spend so much time on an eclipse? You guys eclipsed me. All right, let's see here. The Saro cycle. You guys got the Saro cycle. So some people say, oh, the Indians, they didn't know the Saro cycle. Of course, you know, they do their best to make Indians look dumb. But eclipses occur repeatedly in intervals of time. And as I said, that same similar eclipse was just after the Civil War. So you can see these cycles of eclipses that keep repeating. The eclipse cycle, it is a period after which the pattern of lunar and solar eclipse starts to repeat, which happens every 18 years, 11.3 days, or 18 years, 11 days, and 8 hours. 18 years, 11 days, and 8 hours. Who's the big 18 year?
Rahu.
So the eclipse cycle is an 18-year cycle. Very interesting, right? And we saw that the Metonic cycle was 19 years, which is given the Saturn. So in the Vedas, this time period is called the 3,339 deities that drink the nectar of the moon. Why 3,339 deities?
Mm-hmm. It had to do with the titties.
Yep. So how many were in a year? I told you to pay attention to that number.
372.
372, and we times that by, what is it, 18? That by 18, I don't know, we got the, so I think it's the half, what's the half cycle? The half, no, it's 372 times 18, it's giving me 6693.
Oh, so it's 186, half of it.
Yeah, so there's something with that. But any which ways, it's the number of tithies within that cycle going on. There's a whole tithy correlation. All right, so 223 synodic months, or 242 draconic months, or 239 anomalistic months are in that eclipse cycle. So look at that there on page 64. 223, 242, and 239. So every 223 synodic months correlates to 242 draconic months. There gets to be this repeat happening, and which correlates to 239 anomalistic months. So those 3 months, remember, that we talked about, when they come back to a synchronicity, that's that creates the 18-year cycle. That those three things are lining up. All right, and man, we didn't get into the Brihaspati Samvatsaras. Better off, because I wanted to show you the difference between the tropical. Did I in the lesson online? Do I show the difference between the tropical and the sidereal?
This right here,
Brihaspati cycle. Do I show that?
Isn't that what this is?
No. Okay. I want to get those pictures out because they're really cool. Where'd the time go? Oh, we started a little late, so, but there's no way we're getting through this whole Brihaspati thing, so we're not starting it. Next week though, we're gonna finish this. So whatever we get done next week, the week after, we're moving to chapter 3. Okay. One more week on that chapter. The yugas, there's, you know, I mean, I go over that pretty good online, so in the audio, so I don't think we need to do, we'll go over it real fast and make sure that everybody understands. You guys are going to tell me why Yukteswar is full of junk, and why Yukteswar is full of junk. Some people say I'm being, what's the word? I'm being disrespectful to a great Mahayogi. But Mahayogi doesn't mean he's Mahajyotishi. So, and the big thing is he made his calculations with data that's now outdated. So the fact that people are still holding up his theory, it's like, hello, not only was he using a wrong reference, but his data that he was using, it's now like, because it was the end of the 1800s, and astronomy has changed. And what they used to say then in the 1800s, they've proven it that it's not that, it's something else. But yet his theory is still based upon something that was disproven. So how could we... It makes no... It's just silliness.
I always get the comment that, oh, well, there's different opinions. You know, or everyone has a certain viewpoint.
The thing is, the big thing is that people don't look and understand how they're calculated. They're just reading something and saying, oh, okay. They're not sitting there, and like kind of like the eclipses. If somebody read an article and like, there's two eclipses right next to each other, it's going to be so intense. Get ready for the end of the world. And you had no clue how eclipses worked, you'd say, oh my goodness. You'd even get a little anxious, you know? Maybe Donald Trump is going to blow everything up. Maybe he's going to, whatever. But, you know, if you know the math, if you know the science behind it, then you're like, actually, that's not even if we throw out everything and we just look at the math, 2 + 2 does not equal 7. No matter what you do, 2 + 2 is not 7. You know? So some of these things, like the eclipses, it's not a theory. There's no theory in those eclipses. It's like observable, clear math. And the yugas, the thing is, his theory, it's observable now with our modern technology that his theory is inaccurate. You were saying, Frank?
Oh, nothing.
Before I went on my tirade? All right, next week is our last day in chapter 2. And after that, we will dig into chapter 3, and we'll probably spend 2 or 3 weeks there, and we'll spend a week kind of making sure we all understand it. So I'm giving you a head now, because we're just going to do chapter 2 next week, but then at the week after that, I'm going to expect everybody to have calculated their own Nisarga Dasha for your chart. Like, calculate it by hand so that you know it. And those who've done the PJC course, it's a slightly different calculation because there's two variations. And for some reason, Sanjay decided to use a different variation for PJC. He's like, yeah, I want to see if it works. I was like, Guruji, you, what do you mean you want to see if it works? He's like, well, if they all use it, then we'll be able to see if it works. I was like...
That's the one program in Sri Jyoti Star now.
And then people come to me and they're like, why is this not this and that? Why? and then they expect me to give them like some simple answer. And I was... Oh, yeah. Any which way. So the week after next, have your Nisarga Dasha calculate it. I'm putting that out there now just to be ready. And then the third
You want us to calculate by the method in your book, though?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Use the method in my book. That's the one that Guruji used to teach before PJC. And that's the one that... I did a bunch of charts with the two different systems comparing, and that's the one that, you know, worked the best for me. So it's the one that, since it worked the best, I stay with it. The big thing is Mahadasha doesn't change. Mahadasha will always be the same in either method. It's only the Antardasha that changes in the calculations. So, and they change in a, yeah. Sometimes they overlap and sometimes they don't. So that makes seeing which one is better even more difficult, right? But it's such an important dasha, like so important. It's more important than Vimshottari. But we teach Vimshottari first because Vimshottari is this really general kind of dasha. And it's so general that you use it all the time for everything. Where the Nisargika, it's more specific, but it's, you know, we're all humans and we all have that human nature. Okay, I'm going into that class now. It's one of my favorite dashas, and it's a very crucial one. And we want to be able to without, and I want you to calculate it by hand, because it's, you want to be able to look at a chart and know what dasha they're in without even, you know, needing to flip to that section of the thing, you know, the general. You want it in there that close.
Not the Antardashas, right?
No, not the Antardashas, but you want to be like, literally you're looking at a chart and you're looking at the chart within that Mahadasha. Yeah. So, all right. So what's the vote? Do we like Zoom? Like, there was not a single issue, right?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, for you, just to sign on, but you know, how many times was it cutting us off and coming back?
Yeah,
on?
There's no drops. Yeah.
No drops whatsoever, and It looks like it's a really good picture quality, and the screen share, I think, at least to me, it's looking better than any meeting was. So, I think we're gonna be using Zoom from now on. We'll see how it goes in the level one class. All right. So let's see. So we'll go into the Brihaspati Samvatsara in depth, and we're gonna go real fast through the yugas. So make sure you know the yugas, because I'm just gonna ask a few questions and test you. So study them, memorize them. No, I gotta look here, and I don't know what a draconic month is. Maggie, no wondering. Draconic, what is? Know the yugas. That way we can be done that chapter. All right. Namaskar. See you guys next week.
Namaskar.